Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Young Maine, 35 riders.
That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, but it ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling. Now I'm shining in the sun like it's nothing. Why I run?
I hustle hard in the sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Maine, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day, all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas. I in the world wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking.
That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, but it ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling. Now I'm shining in the sun like it's nothing. That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, but it ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling. Now I'm shining in the sun like it's nothing. Why I run?
Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Maine's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard. That's so hard, push homie. Back then I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool cause now I'm a ride on 84. I had nothing so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling and I jumped up in the rap game. Young Maine can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run this city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, but it ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke, that's why I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining in the sun like it's nothing. That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, but it ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke, that's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining in the sun like it's nothing. Why I run.
I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle.
Yo, 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 listen. Welcome, Lifeless listeners and G-Force, to The Cut on G-14 Radio every Wednesday night. My bad, G-14 Radio, The Cut. Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am your host, Onyx, and I have the co-hosts, Tyrone and Golden Fleece, in the building, on the line as well. What's up, guys?
What's happening? What's happening, world? Onyx, Fleece, Lifeless.
Yo, yo, yo. What's good, everybody? Everybody out there in the G14 world, everybody out there in the world, period. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Happy hump day, Wednesday. ready for that weekend, you know what I'm saying?
Most definitely, most definitely. And this is your first time tuning into G14 Radio. This is the show via the brand global14.com, which is Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. So very interactive, great place to network, a lot of groups for you to join and get all involved in. Make sure you check out that site if you haven't already, because if you're into social networks, I'm pretty sure you're going to be into this one. Just one special guest this evening. We usually do two. That is Miss Ebony Jules. She'll be coming up tonight for the beautiful music segment. And there was a lot of questions today about the beautiful music segment. So, Golden, can you please give our listeners the rundown on what that is.
Most definitely, most definitely. I mean, the beautiful music segment was created because there's many facets of the music industry, basically. It's not just the artists, you know. You got the stylists, you got the models, the video vixens. You got a lot of things that go into what you guys see visually on the TV screen when you see these videos, especially the women. So we wanted to get their perspective on what their goals are in the music industry, what they're starting at, what they want to end at, you know what I'm saying? We wanted to know how they looked at the videos and looked at the artists and basically wanted to know more about them instead of just seeing them and not being able to speak to them. So we get their side, too, and that's what the beautiful music segment is about. It's basically the beautiful women that you see
right.
in and around the music industry.
All right, definitely, definitely. Well, and also we do a JD Game of the Week, but we actually already cycled that back about 2 weeks ago. So we announced our winner. It was Ben, and he actually won 50 promo CDs and some artwork done by Tyrone. Brightwood
right.
Entertainment. Very, very
That's
dope.
Right. That's
it's
right.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be live. He's going to have the 50 promo CDs, the insert, the CD, all of that taken care of, again, by Mr. Tyrone. So shout out to Ben, who had a chance to win that. And real quick, before we get into some news and the topic for tonight, which is actually going to be about music conferences, real quick, because I know Tyrone, you came back with some valuable information, a lot of good news and little exclusives that we get to have because you're actually part of the conference. So can't wait to get into that. But real quick, music charts, because you know we like to talk about the numbers. They do not lie. Actually, we got Fun featuring Janelle Monae with We Are Young. She's on the pop and radio charts. They are. I'm still hanging in. Very popular song there. We got on the Hot 100 somebody that I used to know. I think it's called Gotye. Kimba. I really don't know how you pronounce that, but they are the Hot 100. We have on the R&B hip-hop single, Usher with Climax, and then Nicki Minaj with Roman Reloaded still has the R&B hip-hop album chart. So she actually was number one last week, so here she is in week two. And the number one rap song in the nation is, can you guess what it is? The Model. Not great. Shout out to Young Bun Solo.
Hello.
I hate that. On to the mixtape, Tyrone, what's fine?
All right. Mixtapes, we got N.O.R.E. with Crack on Steroids. Some of you know him as Noriega. We also have The Dog Pound with DPGCology. Also, we have Benny Siegel with Broad Street and Empire Volume 1, The Lost Files, and John Connor with The People's Rapper LP. That's it on the charts. I mean, on the mixtape, drop of the day.
Thoughts, comments.
Well, let me see. We got the boy Noriega. Shout out to Noriega. You know, shout out to this list. Excluding John Connor because they got some veterans in the game on this list. We got Noriega. We got the Dog Pound. We got Beanie Siegel. These are all true veterans that have lasted for a long time in the music industry. And we just got to give kudos to people like that because it's not easy. You could be here today, gone tomorrow, and these guys are still around due to their ties, affiliation, the music that they make. So shout out to Nori, the Dog Pound, and BD Siegel. And let's give a shout out to John Connor as well because the people's rapper, people seem to be really messing with John Connor. So I'm actually going to turn into John Connor a little bit more because I continue to hear this guy's name. I hear his music a little bit more than I have. I'm going to dive into this people's rappers mixtape and see what I think about it.
You know what, I was going to say the same thing because I actually haven't had a chance to check out much from John Connor, so I definitely need to get a little bit wrapped up in what he has going on because I keep hearing his name as well. He has a great, great buzz, and like you said, a lot of vets on the list. It's nice to see the Dog Pound coming through a little something. I think we talked about Snoop Dogg a little bit last week or the week before, so I love to see them doing what they got to do. Of course, you know, you got Noriega, Beanie Single, so nice little list. Again, also, it's Wednesday, Fallwell Wednesdays by his Twitter. He actually has a new mixtape out. It's called No Sleep Till Houston, so make sure you check that out. And the reason why I make sure I always shout out Fallwell is not just because I'm from Texas, but also because we on Global 14 and G14 Radio do support his new track that he drops every Wednesday. We didn't see one on there for today, but I think that we pretty much played his entire mixtape throughout the series of the show, so it was nice to be a part of that project. And I think at the time when he came on the air, he said he didn't even know that he was going to do a mixtape. So it was nice that he ended up turning that into a mixtape. But on to the topic real quick, briefly, touching on the importance of music conferences, what are they worth and are they a waste of time? I asked this question on my Facebook one day, did people think that going to music conferences were going to be beneficial to their career? And I kind of got a mixed reaction on the responses, and I think it's because there's so many out there these days that you kind of don't know if you want to put your $300 to perform on stage. You don't know if you want to pay your, you know, $80 to enter the conference. But the truth is, it is very, it is important that you try to get to a conference, especially depending on the panel and the people that are going to be there, and you can also network. So, Tyrone, I'm going to pass the mic to you so you can kind of let them know how beneficial it is for somebody to attend the conference.
All right. Well, first off, you know, most definitely when you are an entertainer and you're trying to get out here and network with other people like yourself, and especially people who can do who can help you out in the long run, you know, it's definitely something that you want to engage in. You know, you have fans on the outside that you promote your music to, but you also definitely need to get with other industry people that can push your career. So a lot of times with music conferences, you know, of course they have performances where a lot of times the artists pay, you know, but the artists, you know, they're not just performing for just anybody. A lot of times there are music execs, you know, label execs there. There are managers there. There are magazines there. You know, there are lawyers. You know, there's a wide range of people who attend these conferences. And, you know, a lot of times, believe it or not, the new artists that you've seen today, they've been to a conference. So they started out by promoting and hitting up a lot of these events, and it's always nice to see someone who wasn't known early and then see how they blossom and blow up. So, you know, of course, you know, they definitely are important, and I would suggest that anybody who is aspiring try to attend as many as you can, you know, big or small, because you never know who's going to be in the building.
No doubt.
Yes, indeed. The you know what's crazy about the conference that I see with most artists, and they don't take advantage of it. A lot of artists like to stand around and just look at the women or look at everybody in the lobbies and you know, pass their CDs around instead of attending the actual panels that are going on, the actual seminar part of what's going on. If you're going to these conferences, one thing that you know you're going to leave with, not hope that you'll leave with a record deal, one thing you know you can leave with is education. You know what I'm saying? So when I go to these things, I'm always in those seminars, in those seats with a pen and pad, taking notes, writing things down, asking questions, because if I don't get anybody that wants to purchase any production or anything out of that weekend, I still left with something. I still gained knowledge. I gained a network. I got names and numbers. And what I would like to encourage a lot of artists to do when they hit these conferences is card collect. Make sure you just ask everybody for a card. Come home with a whole bunch of cards. You know what I'm saying? Because when you do, you can basically put that in a database on your computer, whether it's Excel or whatever, and when you get to the point where you think you're ready to hit these people up professionally and talk to these people, you got all of that information right there. You know, I know a guy that goes to conferences. All he does is collect cards when he goes there. He shakes their hands like, do you have a card? When you go to his house, his cards are all organized. He has all the DJs. So when he had the song that he wanted to give to all the DJs, he had that right there already. So conferences are awesome. just go there with the mind frame that I'm going to get what I can get from here, and I'm not worried about being the next superstar being signed. Get your education, collect your cards.
Exactly. And right. I have to just agree with both of y'all because, and I met Mr. Boomtown actually at the conference. Well, of course, I knew of him, but I actually had a chance to meet him one-on-one, and I used to help out with the I helped out one year with the Mike Moosling Texas Summer Music Conference, one of the biggest ones we have in Texas, and Terry McGill, and I met a lot of people, and especially working behind the scenes, learned a lot of it, how it all goes down, how it's all put together. Of course, being actually do event planning, that's my profession, career, actually, but to the way that it works and unfolds within the industry, very important, like you said, to pick up the cards. I mean, they were doing all kind of stuff. They were auditioning for videos, upcoming videos. Some of the girls got a chance to be in a lot. Some of them have, you know, I can't name them. You know, I don't really know all of the victims and the models, but I've seen quite a few of them that were there that are in some big-name videos right now. So it's definitely, you just don't know, like Tyrone said, what the opportunity is going to be, big or small, so definitely want to get in the conference and take advantage of it. And you should have a budget set aside anyway to get on the road and travel and do these things, because if you don't have a budget or any type of plan in place, then you probably aren't ready to enter anything major if you don't have your head on the street, just depending on what type of deal you want. If you want to be your own boss, it just kind of depends. We talked about that, mm-hmm. I think, a couple of shows back, about what type of deal you can get and what's beneficial. Do you want to be major? Do you want to be independent? How are you going to grow that label or your brand, so to say? So, again, conferences are beneficial and for different reasons, and card collecting, definitely one of them, because I've gotten so many people that I'm able to reach out to now, even about this show, just based off of those conferences and building those relationships with them through the years. So, it's my little two cents on it. Yeah. But Tyrone, you told me something earlier that was very interesting about people and, you know, regarding deals and performances. So I wanted you to share that with Benny.
Basically, the name of the event was the DJs United Conference. My business partner, Lucky, and Janie Jennings out of Chicago, they put this event together where they're basically trying to bring it back to where the DJ is one of the most important, you know, elements of hip-hop and getting the music out there to the masses. Without the DJ, you know, who's going to play our music? So the whole conference, basically what we did was we took 18 of the 18 DJ coalitions from the Midwest, you know, based out of the Midwest, and we brung them all to one event. You know, like a lot of DJ conferences, sometimes they may focus on one particular group of DJs, you know, it's their event, you know, but rarely does a whole conference focus on all of the DJs. So basically, you know, what we did was we had that going on, and then we also had people come to the event to be on the panel, such as Dorian Washington he runs Gracie Productions. He actually managed Static Major. He manages Slaughterhouse at the moment. You know, he's done quite a bit. I believe he used to be in the group 12 Gauge as well back in the day. We had him here. We had Wes Phillips of Selecto Hits. If you're not familiar with Selecto Hits, they are an independent distribution company. I think they're based out of Memphis. You know, if you're an old 3-6 fan, 3-6 Mafia used to get their records distributed by Selecto Hits back in the day. We also had E1 Music was there. Dorian Washington also manages Fonsworth Bentley, which he came as well. Rampage from Flip Squad was there.
Yeah, Fonsworth.
Yeah. Shauna Kane, she has a new record, as well as Hurricane Chris came. Hurricane Chris has a new record. So it was quite a few people that came to this event. Right. And, you know, he was a real down-to-earth guy. You know, we were eating breakfast, actually, on Sunday. The event was 3 days, Friday through Sunday. On Sunday, I was sitting at the table by myself at the moment because all of my people had got up and walked off. Well, he came in the room, and he walked right over to me. You know, I didn't know him prior, but, you know, he walked up to me, you know, said what's up and shook my hand, and he sat down. You know, so that's one of the – right, yeah, and I thought the same thing. You know, I have never met this guy, but, you know, he was real. He was a people person. He spoke to everybody, and he sat in the crowd with us just like, you know, he's a regular guy. So as far as the panels are concerned, you know, I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I'm still learning every day. By no means am I an expert, but this was probably one of the best conferences that I've attended as far as information is concerned.
Right.
And one more thing, there was India Graves is the vice president from Mizay Entertainment. Mizay is Waka Flocka's mother, who has, you know, of course, right, Waka Flocka. She has had Gucci Mane.
Debbie.
She had Nicki Minaj at one point for a while. You know, so, you know, a lot of people were there to give information. And, you know, they talked about publishing. I myself have been a victim of getting a song stolen.
Mm-hmm.
I won't talk about it on air, but it was by one of your favorite rappers.
You know,
I'm still salty about that, but, you know, I knew better. But, you know, of course, they talked about the publishing. Dorian Washington, he actually mentioned that, you know, he managed Static Major, and Static produced Lollipop, or song on Lollipop, you know, for Lil Wayne. Well, I think he said something like the publishing check for Lollipop alone for them on their end was $1.2 million. You know, and he just kind of broke down the importance of making sure as an artist all of your paperwork is 100% on point, because those checks can a lot of times be way more than a record sale, you know, a record royalty check.
Definitely.
Yeah, behind the scenes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's big, man. Right. That publishing is guaranteed money in the music industry. So, you know, that's the money that these people live long with. You know, that's that long money. That's the residual money that continues coming in that mailbox or however you receive it. You know, you got your publishing game right. You know, one hit record can change your life. So,
oh yeah, you talk
it
about
has for many
commercials.
People. So.
Yeah, it's never ending. Like
you said,
the movies, the commercials, they keep that song going. One of the songs that I think is going to be around for a long, long time and probably be somebody's anthem, if not already, is that song Fun, or the We Are Young joint with From Fun and
Number
I think that's one of those songs that's going to be around for a really, really, really
They'll
long
be playing
time.
That at graduation.
Exactly.
They'll be playing that at everything. Yeah, that's a universal one right there.
It is. I'd love to see who's going to be collecting on that joint. Like, that's going to be real, real nice. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Oh, no. Can you share the other part on air as well? Are you allowed to?
About
the deal?
Oh, okay. That's another thing. You know, the event was held in Indianapolis. You know, Indianapolis is we're coming straight off the Super Bowl, and a lot of things doesn't happen on the entertainment in our city. You know, and I don't know what it must be something in the water, because these artists up here, you know, they don't do what they're supposed to do. Well, this whole big event, people came from Cali, people came from New York. As a matter of fact, Fleece. A guy by the name of Mikey J. I met. He drove down from New York. He said he's with Sony Music, and he's done a lot of productions for artists up in that area. So I know he's been nominated for two Grammys. He's hosted but he's been a judge on 106 and Park Freestyle Friday four times. You know, he was real cool too. But anyway. Five artists got deals while at this conference. Five of them. And this just came from performing and getting songs played while everybody was in there to listen. Well, one of the main ones I want to talk about is Rampage and his artist Leo the Don. You know, Rampage has been around for a long time, and he now resides in Arizona. Well, you know, and for the record, you know, I want to put out there that Rampage was a real cool guy. We laughed a lot. You know, he joked around, you know, even his mannerisms and the type of stuff that he would talk about when he talked about how he was on tour with Busta Rhymes and, you know, he had to, you know, a big old van. He had to sleep in the back of the van on top of a bunch of, luggage from New York all the way, you know, 10, 15 hours away. You know, they driving all over promoting the Wu-Ha record. You know, cause mm-hmm. Busta Rhymes, you know, got real huge off that record. So he mm-hmm. was just describing the stuff that they went through, you know, as artists. You know, they're hungry. They're trying to make it. They got to do whatever it takes to make it happen. Well,
yeah.
He actually, my business partner Lucky, that helped put it together. He was on stage and he was mentioning, okay, I'm in this conference. You know, y'all know that me and, you know, Jamie and Lucky put it together. So Lucky's saying, okay, we've been here all of this time, and all of you artists that are walking around, only he counted on his hand how many people actually gave him a CD. You know, this is one of the people putting this event together, and
wow.
You haven't given this man a CD.
Right.
So until he actually said something, nobody had really gave him a CD. But as soon as he said that, everybody jumped up and walked over to him and gave him a CD, including Rampage's artist. Well, as they were talking and Rampage is talking about how hot the record is, Lucky says, I'm going to put this record in right now, and I'm going to tell you in front of everybody whether or not it's good. Well, they put the record in. The first 5 to 10 seconds, everybody went crazy to where they actually stopped the record. Right. They actually stopped the record, and all the DJs are screaming, I'm playing that. That's a hit. Immediately, like, and it's just, the guy hadn't even got to start singing yet. Like, as soon as he started and the beat dropped, they cut it off and said, this is a hit record. So they played it twice. They played it all the way through twice, and Gracie Productions ended up signing them off of that record. So, you know, just at that event, you know, that's how... You know, you never know what can happen or how it can happen. But both Rampage, I believe both Rampage and Leo the Don, or as a label, they got that deal. Because Rampage performed as well.
Yeah, he got that deal.
He has a hit record. Right. He has a hit record called Brooklyn right now. And it was just featured on All Hip Hop, I believe, yesterday. So, from the conference. So, you know,
yeah.
A lot can happen at a music conference.
You never know. You got to be there. You got to be there, you know. You know, definitely being in the building,
timing,
you never know what can happen. You know,
right.
You got to just be prepared.
That's
you go
right.
Prepared, you never know. You put your best foot forward, you can
and
get that deal.
Go.
Shout out to Rampage and his artists.
Okay.
I read about Rampage getting a deal on, I think it was All Hip Hop, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
So, congratulations to that brother. I remember that brother when he was real slim. You know, with the long dreads. Busta Rhymes is from my hood in New York. Actually, my best friend's brother used to dance for Leaders of the New School. They all went to Uniondale High School. And we used to watch them practice, man. And every time we saw Leaders videos, we were like, oh, man, that's right on the corner over there by Uniondale Ave, man. We used to be so happy about you know, busting and their success. And my man Boogie Nights, that's what they called him because he was black. My man
mm-hmm.
Boogie Nights, his real name is Dave, used to dance for Leaders of the New School. Shout out Boogie and my man Abe, man. We definitely lived that Leaders of the New School shit. They was right around the corner from us. Hempstead, Uniondale shit. That's Long Island stuff right there.
That's real.
I think that's great.
I'm so proud, and I mean, I'm not gonna get emotional on y'all, but I'm just saying, I'd be proud of artists, and I'd be proud and happy for people when things like that. You know what I mean? You just never know what you're saying, and just, you know, get there, do what you gotta do, have a business plan, have a budget, and you know, let your music speak for itself. Like Lucky told him, you know, I'm going to put it right now. And it worked out for him. So, shout out.
Nice.
Congratulations. Yeah, definitely.
Major way.
So, oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. And who knows what's going to happen from here. And then with you going reading it on with other sources, that's amazing. So, very, very.
Yep, actually, just saw it yesterday. So, that's real dope. Tyrone was there and experienced that whole thing. I just read that article yesterday.
I know. Let's
yeah,
get,
somebody
the 101.
Actually came. Yeah, somebody actually, he was there from hiphop.com. That's how we
Oh, yeah,
got
that's right. That's right. You did tell me that. That is right.
Yeah, let's, so it's actually dope right there.
Let's definitely link up and see can't we get him on and get his side of the story, how it felt to get that deal and how it all went down. But let's take a quick break, come back with some news before we have the, again, the model Ebony Jewels coming on for the beautiful music segment. I'm going to play Kurt Cobain, also a nice artist who had a quick little buzz. He's actually from where I'm from, since we all talk about where we're from and rapping. But he's actually from Texas, Central Texas, and out of Houston, and blew up kind of out of nowhere and still continuing to I think he made the Billboard charts at one point as well. So here it is, Kurt Cobain's Drink in My Cup, and we will be back with some music news.
Uh-huh.
Kurt Cobain. I didn't change the whole of Rip the grain, roll up, and your girlfriend want a nigga like me, cause I ain't tryna control her. She call me when she wanna change, black diamond, my pinky ring, and she know you weak and we ain't the same. You hit the scene, I make the scene, I'm in her head like Maybelline, H time, so I make the lean, I'm in her soul, I make her scream, I don't ride the toad, don't pay the change, I'm easy tag like Peter Pan, she want a man, don't need a man, I'm flying down your boulevard, she cooking dinner with your fans, draped up, stepped out, yo bitch know what I'm talking about, pulls up, pull out, we get it popping in the parking lot, she like to do it with the lights on, don't matter to me if it's dark or not, I'm G'd up, east up, fossil pants, I'm hard as rock.
with Drink in My Cup. Shout out to Texas and shout out to Kirk Baines, again, another artist who was on his grind, came up, did what he had to do. Got that record deal now. He's just talking about getting deals. On to the music news. Golden.
Yeah, we got the news going on. You know the music news. I got to go through my news every morning and share with my peoples, Onyx and Tyrone, so we could talk about if it's sad, if it's happy, you know, if it's glad, if we like, not you again, you know what I'm saying? But
exactly,
we got to check it out. So first thing that caught my eye, because this guy on the West Coast, actually the Bay Area, is like Tupac. He's like a god over there. If a lot of people don't know about Mac Dre, Mac Dre is like an icon from the Bay Area, started all of the dance movements that they do out there in the Bay Area, the thizzing, the ghost riding the whip, all of that stuff you see. Yeah, you know the Bay Area, they get crazy with it. What's the dance craze that they had that was going on? What they call their dancing?
The hypey movement.
There you go. The whole hypey movement. That's all Mac Dre. One of my mans from Cali came out here. When he moved out here, he put me on the Mac Dre, and ever since then, I was fascinated about the Mac Dre story. He was actually killed coming back from a show in Kansas City. And they said it was by a rival rapper in Kansas City. It was weird, but now his whole Diz Entertainment empire that was actually started through him has been implicated in a nationwide ecstasy ring. So basically, I guess there's a four-year investigation that's been going on into Diz Entertainment record label. 4 years they've been looking at these guys. 25 people have been arrested and accused of being involved in this massive nationwide ecstasy drug ring. Now, a number of rappers associated with Diz Entertainment were actually arrested yesterday and charged in the conspiracy with conspiracy to distribute ecstasy, cocaine, heroin, and marijuana, and of course the infamous codeine cough syrup around the country. So basically, according to police, the members of Diz sold drugs to finance their record label. So basically they're saying this is another example of partnerships between, you know, the DEA and the police department to bring these guys down. So that was one story that caught my eye. I wanted to know what you guys thought about that. Mac Dre, he's passed on, but unfortunately his cohorts and the people after him are caught up in a drug sting by the DEA.
Wow. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's almost, I feel like I've heard this story before because it seems to happen so much.
Definitely.
You know? So,
which is why I brought it up, because I know we talked about this before. Remember we talked about the guys that set up the fake record label to catch a whole bunch of these guys.
Yeah.
So it's like they keep falling victim to this stuff, but they're saying it's to finance the label. What do you guys think about that? Is it hard for brothers these days to finance their record labels without slinging dope in the hood? It's like, you know,
it's going to take you a longer time to get the money saved up and get your budget and everything, right? I mean, obviously, it may be harder, but, you know, you got to figure out what it's worth. Is it worth going out there, getting that fast money real quick, and then, ending up like this? Or is it worth it to sit down?
Well, let me pose the question like this to you guys. Do you think the people that are in the industry that have won, the Jay-Z's, the Babies, all of these people that started off drug selling and now they have transferred all of that lifestyle into major money, do you think that is why these people say, okay, we got the blueprint, this is how we got to do it, let's roll with it and see what happens?
I wouldn't say that, honestly, like, and just, you know, speaking again about the conference, you know, they mentioned at the conference that, you know, as an independent artist, you are independent label, you really can do very well with starting off with about 20 grand or even 10, depending on how you work it. If you're going to, because you have to start off small. You know, people are not needing millions of dollars to, you know, you can't start, you can't go from zero to 60. It's kind of like you need to start off in your hometown and then keep branching out and branching out and branching out. I mean, if you sell 10 CDs, you know, for a couple dollars a piece, you know, you still made profit than what you spent to get them. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say that that would be the route, you know, that you should go that route or that, that is, that's a good route to go in, because you can finance a music project working at fast food, depending on how you do it, you know, or depending, you know, get a second job. You know, it's quite a few different things that you can do. You know, if you're a designer, you know, you can design and you can go to work like myself, you know, and it's right. A couple different ways. But I don't think you need, you know, no $1 million to successfully promote a project.
Not at all.
I think it's going to come down to the personal conviction thing. If you feel, you know, what is it worth? You know what I mean? You just, again, and then you just have to have a good budget and a good plan in place. If you're really going to say, you know what, I want to be in this music industry, I want to get a label started, I want to do this and I want to do that, you really have to put your business hat on, and then that business hat will tell you, this may not be the best route for me. It worked for this person, but now they don't, you know, there's other resources. You have the conferences, you have the internet, you have a lot of outlets, you know what I mean? So whereas back in the day, or where there wasn't so many options or wasn't so much information, you know what I'm saying? Like nowadays we have a lot more, which is another reason why people shouldn't have an excuse. We have a lot more resources and a lot more things that we can do as far as networking and to get what we need to do. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to come down to a personal decision, but I would advise not, you know, just because my family has been there, done that, and one is still incarcerated now, so that goes to show that eventually, you know, no matter what you do, it comes back, so...
Most definitely, and I think that a lot of these people, they should actually take a look at these stories, and it should scare them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just scary. Instead of it looking like it's glamorizing, it should scare you guys. I mean, a lot of these guys are going to do time, football numbers behind that wall, you know, for something that, you know, basically, this is my thing. When you're doing this stuff, you're supposed to be under the radar. When you're a rap group or a record label and you're constantly in front of cameras and shit like that, and you're just basically inviting the investigation. You're saying, here goes 20 niggas in this video that don't work, but check out our Bentleys, cars, and all this other shit. Like, they're looking at that like, bro, you don't work. How the fuck you getting that shit?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm
so
not
you're just inviting that scrutiny.
Right, I'm not feeling the fact of just to build the label itself. I mean, but and then the point, by the time you get to, when you get to a certain point, hopefully you would have made a profit, like Tyrone said, when you're selling the CDs or whatever you got going on. You need to already have a plan in place to replace.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think they're writing it like that. I don't think it's that. They're not doing it for the record label.
No,
they're doing it for the bread, but they just happen to want to rap.
Right, but going back to your question, what you saying, do we think that, you know, people need to do that to get their label started? That's definitely
right.
If you're in that, I hope that times was hard and or you just, you know, it is, like I said, it's a personal decision, but definitely not to start no label, because that's the wrong, definitely the wrong. There's grants out there. There's so much that you can, you know, again, we have too many resources these days to be going back doing the same old thing when we know the results are going to be the same. You see what I'm saying? So
most definitely.
But,
so, you know, to those brothers, go ahead, Tom, my bad. Well, I was just saying that one of the, you know, one of the main points that they were making at the conference was that, you know, it's a whole lot easier for us now than it was for them, you know. You know, even with the DJs carrying around crates and things of that nature of records, and the artists actually having to go out and really, really hit the pavement, they didn't have the internet like we have it now. So anybody that feels like they're having trouble and it's hard for them to do what they do, you know, it's kind of like you got to put in perspective of, how easy it is compared to how it was in the 80s and
90s. Right.
Definitely. It's something that a lot of people should look at. You know, don't ignore these stories. You know, the numbers of brothers getting bagged, I guess said 25. You feel what I'm saying? They corralling them. You feel what I'm saying? So be careful out there before you get on the next video and show all your bands and your drugs and all that shit. Just be careful. You know what I'm saying? That might be the stupidest move you ever made. But we're gonna keep it moving on. Another story that caught my eye. It's a lot of girls getting signed right now. I don't know if anybody noticed that. It's a lot of girls making a lot of waves. You know, Brianna with Po' Boy, Azalea Banks, Iggy Azalea, some new girl named Chloe on Slip and Slide. An influx of girls in the you know, hip hop community, which is great. I think it's awesome because they all got these different styles.
Yeah.
And I really like this girl, Azalea Banks. If you haven't heard her, she's got a crazy different style. She sings and she raps. But right now she's going through a beef because she said something about Iggy Azalea.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said something about Iggy Azalea, T.I. took offense to that because, you know, Iggy is his new artist. So basically, he's continuing off. He's teeing off with it. And she's just like, chill already. We already said it. It's been said. Why you keep bringing my name up in every interview? And she went to Twitter, and she went off on him. So I'm going to just tell you a couple of her tweets. She was talking to Tip. She said, please shut the fuck up about this. Like, seriously, would you please quit it? Tip, funny how you have plenty of times addressed me, but have nothing to say to the dudes who've been calling you a snitch forever. It's dead. The streets already know what kind of dude you are. Stop making yourself look softer by dragging this out with a female. Another tweet. Ain't you the same dude that got photographed butt naked in a pair of sneakers and a beanie? Another tweet. Tip, you're a fucking clown. So, my whole thing is
this shit. What'd you say, Tyrone?
I already knew the way you was going to read it, it was going to sound funny. I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at this shit like, okay, I know you just signed a girl. I'm a huge fan of T.I. I know you just signed a girl. Is the girl's promo in every radio run gonna be this little tit for tat that she got going on with this other girl?
Right.
I think that shit is so fucking whack.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that at all. I'm over it. I don't
want to hear about it
again
no
because this is my first time hearing of it. So I'm over it definitely. Yeah.
She said what she had to say. The girl Iggy responded to that, and it could have been dead. But it's kind of like, okay, music isn't speaking for itself anymore. It's got to be some type of made-up fucking controversy in order to keep this shit going. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just kind of like, yo, let's promote the girl Iggy Azalea. She got the new record out, but every time on a radio interview they bring up this other girl, T.I. has to answer it. Please, people, stop asking T.I. about Azalea Banks' beef with Iggy Azalea. Like,
yeah,
that shit is crazy to me. Ask T.I. some shit about T.I. and Trade of Truth and all the new people he done signed up.
Exactly.
This Azalea Banks shit is driving me crazy. It's like, let those girls do that. What they gonna do? If they gonna do numbers, let's just see.
Right.
And if you ain't gonna do that, just strip them down to a thong, grease them up, and let them fight at the King of Diamonds out in Miami.
Of course.
I'm sorry,
hey,
but that'd be more interesting than this shit.
Yeah, of course. Just leave it to the fellas.
I'd be more interested in this shit. I just had to give it off my chest, you know. Yeah, and I guess a part of me want to see them both sliding around and some shit. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I see. As a matter of fact, I saw some footage of one of them clubs where they actually got the girls in their box, like, with gloves
and
everything.
Yeah, that's K.O.D. out of Miami.
Man.
It's called Fight Night.
Well,
them girls put it on and go hard.
Yeah, hey, when we on the same page, we on the same page on that. We gonna have Onyx start some beef with somebody, and we gonna put her. We gonna have her throw hands at King of Diamonds. We gonna all have a show running live during it. You know what I mean? And hey, that's gonna be the footage. Hey, it's going down.
Shut up.
Indeed.
Don't include me in any of y'all's business.
Hey, listen. It's entertainment, man. You know, this the rap game. Hey, they continue to want to make it about everything else but the music.
You lather up and
get it pop. You know what I'm saying?
I'm mad you said lather up. I'm really mad about that.
Lather.
I'm really mad about that.
That's the new fucking word of tonight. Lather.
Lather. Got you.
All right, well, we got another story here that caught my eye, man. You know, we just did a track. My production team just did a track for Young Buck. Also, I like to say, everybody, when you get a chance, check out that new Saha the Prince open letter. That's also your boy's team right there. So he just dropped that on the World Stars and the Internet like crazy last week. That's us right there. Saha the Prince open letter. Check that out.
Nice.
Hey, I saw that. Yeah. I didn't even know that, bro. Like,
yeah, that's us, man.
I like Saha, like, a lot. Like, I think dude was cold,
nice.
You know what I mean?
Nah, Saha
enjoyed that track.
Saha cold on that mic, for real. But another guy that we just recently dropped a track for, Young Buck, lawyers for 50 Cent attempt to block Young Buck's asset sale over dispute. So pretty much any way Buck tries to get himself right, 50 Cent and his lawyers is like, Buck ain't doing shit until he pays us this money.
Wow.
So here's the story. Rapper 50 Cent has filed a motion to block Young Buck's sale of his intellectual property in an attempt to pay off his creditors as a part of his bankruptcy filing. If you don't know, Young Buck has filed for bankruptcy, and he needs to pay these creditors off. So basically, 50 Cent's lawyers filed a motion to stop Young Buck for selling the recordings until a judge decides what Young Buck is allowed to sell. So 50 Cent's lawyers are claiming that in the Buck's agreement, we already grant him the rights to almost all of the intellectual property that he's created when he was signed to the label. So 50 is tied into a lot of shit that Young Buck has as far as music is concerned, and basically they want to wait till a judge says what he can do and what he can't do. 50 blocking him at every angle, like, listen, all you had to do was chill out and play your role, but now I got to show you what this is all about. What y'all think about
everything?
50 is such
everything,
a
everything.
He does. 50 is
like that should be the word of the day right there. Everything.
Lathering everything.
Man, everything. And you know, like, the reason, you know, because I actually read this story earlier today, and a lot of things are clicking because I'm fresh off the conference and just listening to everything that they're saying, and in terms of how easily you can sign your life away, literally, like, he's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, man, like, what, even the stuff that he's recorded since not even dealing with G-Unit, 50 can get, like, everything.
Even
like,
his
recorded,
professional name, even his
right,
name,
everything.
You know, down to his name.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
50 is, like I say, he's the ultimate businessman, one of the most. I forgot I had reported a couple of episodes back, so I can't just throw it out there now, but he definitely is on it. And like you said, everything. I mean, he's unstoppable, you know. And
about the actual, like, you know, aside from a business standpoint, the means that, do you think it's warranted? Like, let me put it like that. Do you think it's warranted, you know, considering the situation between 50/G-Unit and Young Buck? Do you think what's happening to him now is warranted for what went down a couple years back?
I mean, he's playing his business. I mean, he's doing it all like it is business, you know. And now that
I think a lot of it's personal too.
Yeah.
I think you know, if a story that I heard was correct, you know, 50 really went to bat for Young Buck as far as people wanting to hurt Young Buck in the street, like paying off some people an extensive amount of money so they wouldn't get at Young Buck.
Mm.
And then I guess, you know, for Young Buck to turn around and just, you know, trade on him like that, that was like a huge smack in his face.
Mm.
And I think he's, you know, 50's one of them street dudes that's just like, nah, that's not sliding. Like, pay me back what you owe me. If this is correct, this is all alleged, but, you know, strong ties to this, you know, story, who I heard it from, saying that, you know, listen, bro, I saved your life. They wanted you dead, whoever they is. You know what I'm saying? If that story's even true. But if that's true, I can see how it's like, I'm going to show you why you should have stayed down.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I never kind of want anybody's food to be taken out of their mouth, especially when he's trying to get right with this government. You know what I'm saying? And say, listen, I just got to get back on the up and up. You know, if I was 50, I would say something like, okay, this is all that money can go to. Not you partying, not nothing. Pay back your creditors. Matter of fact, sell it. I'll pay the creditors back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's, you know, 50 definitely has up the hand on this one, especially just down to the paperwork and how it all unfolds. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, like I said, 50 is just a powerhouse. He's a powerhouse. I don't even know what to say. You know, the best of luck and that's a Young Buck, and hopefully, you know, and get it straight, and get it straight with 50. Hopefully they can work something.
Good luck to Young Buck. You know what I'm saying? I'm rooting for Young Buck.
No,
but
I really am.
Time, I understand 52.
Exactly. I'm kind of torn between the two. You know what I'm saying? So I guess I'm biased.
All right. And I know we got to go to break soon. So the last thing that I want to ask you guys, which is fucking hilarious to me. Did you guys see that Brian McKnight video? Let me show you how
that works. No, I refuse to watch that. When I saw the headline, I'm like, I'm not about this. I don't even want to know what that was.
We was bugging out on Global 14. Shout out www.global14.com. Yo, Brian McKnight has made a video. He said that he polled his people on Twitter, and he was thinking about doing an adult mixtape, and everybody wanted him to do one. So the first song that he's created off this mixtape is called Let Me Show You How Your Pussy Works. And Brian McKnight. That's why everybody's going crazy. They're like, Brian McKnight, are you serious? And this guy's singing this, and it's the funniest, catchiest fucking song. You got just YouTube it. And just prepare to laugh your ass off. I think one of the lines is, let me show you how your pussy works. Let me show you that it can squirt.
What? Brian McKnight. I am so upset with you right now. Are you kidding me?
Listen.
But this is not even
blows up. If that song blows up and he's thrust back into the spotlight, I'm going to be so disappointed with the industry as a whole.
I can't believe that's
stooping all the way to that's almost feeling like that he's at his lowest point to where he has to resort to that type of thing. How do you have a whole career with good music,
I mean,
and now you're talking about, come on, man. I'm
not even feeling that at all, because I'm used to Brian McKnight doing the falsetto. You know, Tyrone, you used to hit it, the falsetto.
Yeah.
What a funny fool. What was that?
Yeah, on the job, I used to sing that in the job.
We used to work at Burger King when we were like 16, 17 years old, and Tyrone would hit the more than, doing the dishes in the back and hit the more than wonderful joint.
Nice.
But I'm used to him doing like weddings and wedding music and things like that. So I'm really not happy about that. I'm
forget the weddings. Forget the weddings. Forget the more than wonderful. These days, B. McKnight is going to show you how your pussy works.
I'm not believing
He's
that.
He's going to show you how
I'm
it works.
It's to the point where I don't even believe. That's how serious it is. All right,
check it. We got homework then. Y'all two got to see this video right after the show tonight. Laugh your ass off and see how serious Brian McKnight is about this song.
I don't know. I don't believe it. You sure it was him? It wasn't like a
spoof
or anything?
Oh, it was him. Yeah, it was him. Now speaking of that, I just saw a Tank interview where he's going in on Brian McKnight about that.
I was going to say, I love Tank, so let's not.
Right, and he's mentioning how, I don't know if he was joking, but he was like, yeah, Brian McKnight is, what'd he say? He was like, Brian McKnight, 57 years old or something like that, he said, and he got a mohawk, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
and
I'm just
like, yeah, like, why would you do that? Like, come on, like, why would you do that? Like,
but he
you
doesn't have to.
You should have enough fans.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't have to, though. So this is just, like I said, disappointing, alarming, shocking. I'm all upset now real quick. Like, are you serious? I'm trying to research as we speak right now because I'm just not happy. I can't believe he would do that. What's the name of the song again? I don't even know.
Bullshit.
Like,
Now you got to check it out. You definitely got to check it out. You got to check it out.
That's the name.
You
got to
tell me what you think after you hear it.
Mm-mm. I'm not feeling that at all.
Because you're a female, so I need to know if it gets you in the mood.
It doesn't, not at all. You know, and like I said, he's like Tyrone, Tank, whoever said, he's 50-something years old, so I'm definitely not, you know, that alone. But at least he could have serenaded, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just come back with the wedding music. For him to come with that, I'm just, like, totally disappointed. And I know you can hear it in my voice, guys, but, like, I'm really upset that he did this, and I don't want to believe it. So I'm getting ready to look it up. And who from Twitter told him he was allowed to do that? You said he pulled Twitter, and they said that he should. I mean, this is just horrible. This is tragedy. And this, like I said, it's just upsetting, so.
Well, that's all. You know, we got to get into the Ebony Jewels interview, but that's a few topics for the news, you know what I'm saying, that I felt I wanted to speak on. And the Brian McKnight thing was just some extra craziness that just happened to be everywhere this week. So hilarious, but he's so real about it. So sincere.
Glad I missed that memo.
So sincere.
Well, I want to ask you, too, real quick on your opinion. What do you think about the Nicki Minaj having a number one? We talked about it last week a little bit, having the number one album, Roman Reloaded. What do you think? And it's Nicki Minaj.
I think it's dope. You know, one thing about this is what, you know, a lot of people got to understand. It's like graduating to different realms and different demographics, having different audiences is always a good thing. Just because this girl is from South Jamaica, Queens, does not mean she has to spit some block rhymes for everybody in the world. Mm-hmm. If you really listen to Roman Reloaded, this is a street album.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so funny about it. Like, that album is straight street. It's like Starships confused people, and it's like, wow, we wasn't expecting the album to be like this after Starship. But listen to that album. It damn near sounds like a mixtape.
Yeah, Nicki is.
So I don't know if you guys heard it, but Nicki's dope, man. She's dope. She knows what she's doing. She's dope. She knows what she's doing.
She always has been. She had me a little scared, you know, with that Grammy moment, but I got over it. And like I said, I'm proud of her. Back happy.
I mean, I can't say that I'm a fan. But I will say that, you know, like I said, listening to India Graves talk about, you know, Nicki, because they basically, at Mizzay Entertainment, they built her career before, you know, in the early days. And they, you know, when she, I think I don't know if she was, it was after she got with Cash Money. It wasn't too long ago, because I remember reading in the news, it was within the last year or two that they stopped working with her. But, you know, just I have a newfound respect for, you know, where mm-hmm. she's come from, because India actually sat down and broke it down to everybody of how, you know, they were molding her her image. And, you know, she they said she didn't get a lot of support in New York early, and they had to basically build her into what she is now. And they said she had a whole lot of ideas. And, you know, they said, you know, she's real smart. You know, she knew what she wanted to do. And even when she got the Cash Money, it was certain issues when she first got there to where she's like, these niggas ain't on their shit. I'm not messing with them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and she stood, they said, India said she stood firm with everything she wanted to do. And she basically, she took her respect. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you know, I mean, I can respect that. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of, you know, I like some of her verses and some of her music. I can't say I enjoy everything, because I believe that a lot of it is made for younger people. But I can respect the whole hustle and the grind and, you know, going from
and
nothing to everything.
Right. Nice. Well, real quick, let's go ahead and see. Like I said, we got Ebony Jewels coming up, beautiful music segment model, Vixen. Let Golden get into the one-on-one with her. I know he's more than thrilled to. let's take a quick break and see if she's on the line. Waiting for the beautiful music segment model, Miss Ebony Jewels, to call in with us tonight. But we have a little bit more news that we can cover. Actually, wow, I think she may have just called in. Tyrone, do you mind checking that for us?
All right, be and right Golden, back.
Thank you. Golden, I know you said you had a couple of other goodies to drop on everybody.
Most definitely. Something that I was excited about. The boy Juvie, Mr. 400 Degrees himself, hit New York City the other day after 8 years of being gone and did a show over at SOB's for the New York fans, man, and they were real happy to see the boy Juvenile grace the stage.
Oh,
I thought that was real dope. He has a new project coming out, and he's ready to go. Actually, he has a new mixtape and an upcoming album. And they said he went in there and he did his thing. You know what I'm saying? He said everybody being there and walking up to him saying, great show. You know what I'm saying? He was real happy about that. He said he'd been into his family life and, you know, getting back out there and doing his thing felt real good to him. So he said, look out for him and Manny Fresh. They come in with some heat.
Oh, did he?
All right, guys. Real quick, we have our executive producer, Crush, on the line. She has a comment. Crush, are you there?
What's up, people?
Crush, what's the deal?
What's happening?
Not much, man. So I just wanted to say that I've always liked Nicki Minaj. Some people haven't. Like, I remember her first mixtape. So I've always been rooting for her. And one of the things that I have a problem with is that everybody, she's in her own lane. Like, I don't even think if anyone came back, I think with female rappers, it's going to be hard for someone to compete with her. So it's like the next girl that comes out, you might as well try to create your own lane as well. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I mean, I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I most certainly agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I think a lot of people are thinking, like, she don't compare to such and such, and I'm just like, yo, you can't, at this point, Nicki is way too big for anybody. I don't care who decides to come out, they're going to have to pretty much create their own lane like she did. That's the only way it's going to work. Like, you're going to have to give something completely different and fresh.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Right. That's true. I mean, she's pretty much set the, you know, stage for that to happen, especially coming out, like I said, with the whole Barbie movement and all of that. And then I think, Golden, you mentioned the fact that, or Tyrone, that just the fact that she's able to be number one on a consistent basis is a big deal as well, especially being a female rapper. So definitely.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. That's a huge mm-hmm. deal. Like Crush said, her own lane is basically she carved it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Her carving that lane is basically huge, and for her to be number one when she comes out, that's a big deal. And that's a big deal that females need to support her because
mm-hmm.
it's actually opening the door for all these other girls like we were talking about earlier that's getting signed. People are looking for girls now because
mm-hmm.
Nicki Minaj has made it popular and profitable for girl,
right.
for women in hip hop again, so they really should be shouting her out for that.
Yeah.
Oh
definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Because if I was a female rapper, I'd be trying to like, yo, Nicki, let's do a track.
I know you need to be doing a duet. I
like,
know, like straight up.
Yeah, like
that's
the whole thing.
That's what Lil Kim should have did.
Yeah.
Because right now Lil Kim would be in this. Like for a long time, Kim didn't even have nothing out, and she was all over the world. Like, overseas, doing gigs and all that other stuff, you know what I'm saying? And then here comes Nicki. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, if you come out, you're really going to have to carve your own lane, like Flea said. And, I don't see, like, me personally, I'm going to be very surprised. I'm trying to figure out who's going to do it because you can come out hard. Like, seriously, anybody can come out hard. Like, there's some dope females out right now. Like, got mixtapes and all the other stuff. They sound really dope, but they sound good for, like, you know, early 2000 and late 90s. Like, they would have been, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't.
But just because you're a dope
rapper,
right
now,
don't mean
I don't
you're going to sell no records.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. So it's like, so in my mind, I'm just hoping that, you know, people look more towards the future and just carve their own lane and don't worry about, you know, okay, I need to stay, I need to keep my street cred up. Girl, let me tell you something.
Yeah, seriously.
It's street cred worried about you. You need to get to this money. Nikki's still doing what she got to do. If you, like you said, if you listen to, if you listen to this album, it's catchy, but if you listen to the lyrics, she's talking about some real shit, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, she definitely goes hard on this project. I encourage people to check it out. It's like a dope mixtape.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like that girl, Azalea Banks. She's, like, different as shit. And when I hear her rapping, I'm like, wow, I don't hear nobody rapping and singing like this. So that's why I fucks with her. And you know, like I said before, the biggest thing is she's helping out the whole women hip-hop industry. Like, they got to love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
There was no budget being given because of MC Light. You know, MC Light and Yo-Yo and even them, they had they run so long ago,
mm-hmm.
budgets for women in hip-hop had damn near stopped.
Yeah, it did. Nikki
and Nikki is opening that up again. Now everybody wants a female in the crew.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see a lot of people on Twitter being girls. Like, I see Rico Love with the rabbit girl. Like, I'm just curious to see how they're going to package all these people.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. I'm just curious. Seriously, it's going to have to be some serious marketing moves. You know?
I can't feel that rabbit girl. I'm not feeling that. No.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, it's going to be, you know what? Like, listening on the surface, you're like, okay, I don't know about this, but whatever they pull out of the hat, it's going to have to be something amazing.
Right,
it
right,
just
right.
is.
Maybe it was that one video that I saw, so I'm not going to just shut it down completely, but the one
right,
video
right.
that I saw, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, you know, she still has that raw voice. Like, there's so many people out there have that raw voice. I think that it's just going to be about packaging. Like, this is where, like, with JD's going back and he's, you know, he really is putting all these artists together. They're building these artists. You know what I'm saying? That's what they need to do.
Yeah, the real
way. That's what they're going to have to go back.
The real way.
Yeah.
JD,
so.
Shout out to Leah LaBelle. I've been bumping that girl's joint, like, like I look crazy at the light next to somebody bopping my head to her music, and they didn't know what the fuck I was bopping to. I mean, dude looked right at me, and I'm just like in the car jamming, looking at him like, what? This that Sexify joint,
yeah,
and a few other joints that JD put up on Global. Man, that girl is dope. Shout out to Leah LaBelle.
Yeah.
Hope to see her project soon, and hope she got longevity in this game. And with JD behind her, man, she gonna win. But she definitely is serious with it. Style from the style to everything. Everything is dope.
Yeah, she won it.
Yeah, but I know you guys got this great interview coming up. So you know, you guys are doing a great job. But I just had to call in on the Nikki thing because so many people be hating on Nikki, and I'm just like, yo. I would carry Nikki's shoes, bags, tissues.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
you
give
know
a
these,
damn.
These other
like,
girls
no,
can't do that. These
dope.
Other girls can't even compliment each other, let alone be behind somebody carrying something. And that's
exactly.
the problem with them. People need to stop that because it could be so many jobs that Nikki could provide for a woman if she didn't think she was going to be backstabbed
by him. Exactly. Right. Absolutely right. It's just a shame. It is an absolute shame. And it happens all the time, every day, no matter who you are with the females. They really need to stop and band together. Maybe you can get something accomplished.
Well, I just got a text that Ebony will be calling from a 202 number.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll check that out. We got a lot of calls coming in on the board. Let's go,
All right, you guys have a good one. I'm listening in. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
All right,
Chris.
Take care.
Okay. At the moment, I'm not sure which number it is, so I'm kind of sifting through.
But we have a Megan Noel on the line. She wants to. She has a comment. Megan, are you there?
Okay, cool.
I'm here. I just wanted to say good evening to everyone, and I called in because Ebony Jules, I saw it on Twitter, so I decided to call in and see what you guys were talking about, and I didn't know she wasn't on the line yet, but good evening to you all that are.
How you doing?
I'm good. Really just wanted to make a comment listening to the last young lady in her regards to Nicki Minaj. I think in addition to, you know, her style of rap and creativity, I think it just has a lot to do with her branding and her marketing and her just being willing to, you know, step outside of the box and be different and just, you know, embracing it. And I think that's where it starts, you know, just really the brand and just pushing through. And, you know, I really don't, I'm not really into rap and music and everything like that, but just, you know, having a marketing background and a public relations background, that's what stands out to me the most in regards to Nicki.
Definitely. Absolutely.
All I want to say.
No, thank you so much.
Well, we really
right
appreciate
it.
That. And you're 100% correct. You're 100% hit the nail on the head. A lot of people don't understand that stepping outside the box, proper branding and marketing is damn near everything, and there's not a lot of people that's willing to do the things that Nicki Minaj is doing out there. And when you're not willing to do that, you actually, you put yourself, you pigeonhole yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You pigeonhole yourself to a whole that's out there. So when people criticize her, oh, Nicki's going pop, she should. Pop means popular. Go pop.
Absolutely.
Do your damn thing.
I agree. And just, you know, people, a lot of women, they are really, really suffering with identity issues, and they just want to blend in. And blending in, that doesn't work. You know, I don't know if you all remember when Rihanna first came out. She had long blonde hair like Beyonce, and it wasn't until when she let that go, chopped her hair off, got funky, that it was like, okay, you know, Beyonce's about to rock out, you know, but
that's
blending in, like, we're going to look right, blending in does not work, you know, you have to stand out in a crowd, and Nicki has perfected it, so salute.
Yes, she has, salute. And you are exactly right. Rihanna did not pop until she showed her funky side, until she showed her attitude, and people around the world that are like her begin to relate to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't relate to a clone. There's one person that comes out and they want to clone these people, and that's not how you're supposed to do it. The reason why they were successful has to do with them. It's not going to be the same reason you're going to be successful. So you're exactly right. Come out, be yourself. If the people relate, it'll show. You'll sell records. They'll buy your T-shirts and everything else you're trying to sell, and they'll be your diehard fans.
Yep,
so,
ride or die.
Ride or die, you know what I'm saying? You can't come
thank
out wanting to be exactly like everybody else. No
thank
problem
so
at all.
Much.
Thank you for your comments because they were 100% correct.
Okay, and I'll...
Oh, I hope she didn't get cut off there for a second. We actually have, I believe Jules is called in on the line. Ebony Jules, our beautiful music segment model, I believe she is live with us. Tyrone.
Hi.
Hi, Ebony Jules. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. I was
no
kind of
problem.
I'm like, I think she's on the line with us. I'm so glad you made it on. Tyrone, you still on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right.
Ebony Jules is on the line, everybody. That's awesome for you to spend some time with us tonight, Ebony. We really appreciate it. We know we were blowing your Twitter up today, but we had to get the word that you were coming on the show out there so people could listen. Definitely looking forward to this interview. I've been seeing the images. They all look great. I hope you see
thank
yourself
you.
On the Global 14 main page. Beautiful woman, and we're about to get into the woman herself, you know, behind the images. Who is Ebony Jules? So I wanted to first start off with asking you, where are you from?
I am from Washington, D.C., DMV area. I was born in D.C. I moved to Florida from my childhood until high school, and then came back up to the DMV area. So you can say D.C. and Florida.
Oh, okay, awesome. I'm in Florida right now. I'm actually in Orlando, Florida, by the way of New York. I love Florida. Real nice weather out here. DMV, we had model Carice on the line with us the week before last. DMV's turning out a lot of beautiful models. Just like I asked Carice, what is it about the DMV area? What's going on out there where there's a lot of beautiful girls gracing the magazines, gracing the videos? Is it a movement out there?
I think it's just Al Turn again and put DC back on the map.
All right. So DC's ready to get back on the map with some dime pieces. Well, I definitely wanted to get into how you got started. Was this something that someone encouraged you to do? Was something your friends told you to do? How'd you get started in modeling, period?
Actually, I was a hair model at first. I did Bronner Brothers modeling for a year, being a hair model, and then after I was taking my headshots, it just led into glam pictures. It was actually just stumbled upon. It wasn't something that was forced on me. It's like, oh, you like taking pictures? Why don't you try doing this? It was a suggestion. And I did it, and I liked the way the images looked, and the responses I was getting back, the feedback was all positive. So I just took off and kept running with it, kept going.
Nice. How was the Bronner Brothers experience? I know I've been to one of those shows, whole bunch of beautiful women running around with their hair all did, everything looking nice, and, you know, some of the styles that those people were mastered were out of control. I was definitely impressed with the Bronner Brothers show. How was it being a Bronner Brothers model, though? How was it? I know it's, like, hectic getting that stuff done in your hair and looking all good,
yes,
the way everything
tedious.
Looks. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Long day, tedious, weaves, glue, everything. It was crazy. I had to actually learn to walk with the hair pieces because they're so extravagant and big. So for 2 years when I did the different hair shows for them, I had to learn how to walk with the pieces. But the thing I didn't like about it was trying to get all of that out of my hair after the show. Like, I spent hours with conditioner and a comb just combing my hair trying to get it out. Like, it was crazy.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because while I was walking through, and, you know, I had got a little tipsy at the time, had some Hennessy. I'm always with the Hennessy. So me and my friend walking around, and I had to ask one of the models, I'm like, your neck has to hurt. Because she had this hairstyle that was out of control, and she was rocking it like a pro. So that's when I said, you know what? These models and these people that walk in this show and model in this show, they serious. Because you got to be serious to want to walk around like that all day and, you know, not be frustrated, keep a smile on your face, keep everything together. So I applaud you for that alone.
Thank you. It wasn't easy. It's like walking with 4 dictionaries on your head. It was crazy. But, hey, it was fun. It was a fun part of my life, and that's what all started it all, from being a hair model to a glam model.
Awesome. So let's keep talking about that transition. What was the first publication that you saw your images in? What was the first magazine or video that you did?
My very first magazine was Sweet. Then it was Feds. Yeah, Sweets and Feds are by the same people. And then after that, it just went off from As Is to Cred to Straight Stuntin' to Black Men. So it just kept going.
Kept going up, right up the ladder. Now, you're a part of the TSD agency, that's Blasting, Marcus Blasting Games agency, correct?
Correct.
Now, Marcus Blasting Games put a lot of models out into the game. Drea Michelle, you know, the list goes on. I think that whole family, him and his father, are definitely like the pinnacle in that arena. How is it working with the Blasting Games?
It's awesome. Like I said, we're all family. We're very close. They understand you. We have a great line of communication. And as far as mapping out my career path, like, they don't control it. They let me control my own destiny. They just assist me to getting to the next road or the next avenue or the next goal I want to achieve. So I love my agency. I wouldn't trade them, wouldn't leave to go to another agency in the world. They're very supportive and understanding.
Awesome. I want to shout that agency out. Like I said, I've been hearing their name in the industry for a long time. So shout out to the Blasting Game family and all that they're doing out there for models. Now, I also know that you're a Fleet model, Fleet DJs, that's fam. Shout out to Classic CEO. How did you get introduced to Fleet in that whole DJ camp?
Yeah, well, actually, Classic reached out to me on Twitter. I would say, like, maybe a year ago. It's been a while, like a year ago, and we clicked, okay. We bonded. We, I was one of the original models from the beginning, well, you know, from the era when he started building up the models. We all became friends. I love Fleet models. All the models are awesome and amazing. The DJs are wonderful. They're so supportive. That's a great,
definitely,
great backing and a family fan base to have. Like, I love them to death.
Definitely. Shout out to the Fleet DJs. Awesome dude, Classic. Awesome DJs, like you said. And they got a conference coming up, so make sure you check out that Fleet DJ conference, you know.
I'll be there judging.
Yes, we will all be in the building. It will be a contest. Make sure you get your information. We will all be there having a good time and having fun. Learn something, meet the DJs, and I think that's going to be an excellent time coming up this summer. I'm looking forward to it. I definitely wanted to find out something about the music industry through the models' eyes. I tend to ask all the model friends that I know. You know, I know you've been on a few video sets as well.
Mm-hmm. I strongly, look, how can I say this without discouraging anyone? I don't like videos. I try to stay away from them because of what's involved in it, but I've had my share of behind the scenes and being on video sets, and it's just not for me.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because perspective is everything, and people have different perspectives on when they do the video. Some girls say they loved it. It was great. Some girls have bad experience, and that's the reason we started a segment like this, because we always interview the artists, but, you know, you girls are just as important to the music industry as the artists. You grace all the videos, the magazines, things of that nature. So is there anything in particular about videos or the video sets that you've been on that kind of was like, you know what, this is not what I want to be doing for a long time?
Well, yeah, with any video set, I mean, you have your advantages and your disadvantages. Me personally, it's just, you're in there, a lot of people, of course, you have your artists and then their entourage, and the entourage is always extra. I really don't like the hype men and, like, all the extraness. Like, they, you get, you know what I'm saying, like, they're hyper than the artists, and they come at the models like, yeah, you should be happy you're here. Like, come on, you're on his payroll, have a seat. And then there's the models who do anything for a cameo, and it's like they're so extra, like beyond extra. If the guy will say jump off the bridge, they'll say, like, with one foot or two, or should I go hit first? Like, they are so extra. I can't. That's not the environment I want to be in. It's just like the entourage is wild. The models is being extra, trying to be seen, bending over, doing this, doing that. It's like, just have a seat until it's your turn to go up there. And then it's like the attitudes. Okay, well, if you're doing this, they want you to do that. Like, it's attitudes. If you're a principal and they're not, they're upset. They're smacking their lips, rolling their eyes. It's just extra.
Right.
I don't have time for it. Then you want you to stand up there for like 5-6 hours or maybe an 8-hour day and do wop pop and drop it and shake it and smile, and you're not getting paid. Like, compensate me for my hours. And it's like, some people stand there. I've heard a model say she stood there on a video set for like 8-9 hours. She only got paid $200. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Could not have been me.
The reason why I'm laughing, and, you know, I'm not trying to laugh at your experience. I'm not laughing at you at all. I'm laughing with you because I've been on the sets, and everything that you're saying, I'm vividly remembering each topic. The entourage, yo, baby, what's the deal? You know, you need to roll back to the hotel. We got got the band. You know, oh, he's going to be doing hit. And, you know, you're looking at it and you like, you know, you got some girls, it's like, oh, yeah, hell yeah. You know, we got that bottle of Nouveau for you. You know, you good. Some girls is like, yeah, we ready. Let's go. Some girls is like, nigga, let me get my bread and I'm up out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I definitely, definitely know what you're talking about. And then I've seen the backstabbing, seen all that. Models like, oh, I don't know why they got her in the front. You can see her cellulite from here. And all that. I've heard it all. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I done heard, oh, her weave is on, fucked up. She need to go see my girl because she looking a mess. I done heard all of that shit on them sets. And I often wonder, like, damn, you really got to be professional when you go on these joints to not just want to knock somebody out for all the shit that y'all endure. I've seen some that went absolutely well, tables out, people eating, having a good time, and then I seen some that was just horror shows. So shout out to the people that, you know, endure that and stay professional, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad you shared that perspective on it because – you know, we want every side of it, and we want the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, I don't, me personally, it's not for me. Like, I won't sell my soul for a principle or a cameo. Like, that's not me. I'm cool. But, you know, the next person, you love doing videos and you want to do that, like, by all means, go ahead. I'm just saying be compensated for your time. Now, granted, video budgets have changed drastically. The budgets aren't the same. So
yes,
you're going in thinking that you're going to get like $10,000, $8,000 for a video, maybe you should try another job because that's not really going to happen. Like the budgets
not
are different,
all.
Though.
It's
a lot.
You're,
I mean, what you see on TV is not exactly what goes on behind scenes. Trust me, it's like a circus. It's not for me. Now, I'll go support an artist. I'll go support whomever. But like me actually being there and dancing and smiling, and I'll rather pass.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what's crazy, because I'm glad you're talking about it, because the budget and the money is very important, and a lot of people, you know, some people are gonna have to do some things for free to get their name out there, you know, and we're not discouraging anybody. If you want to do it and it's for you, by all means, like she just said, do your thing. But that leads me to a question that I do have. What do you feel about the industry that you're in, that there is a girl around every corner that's willing to do what you're not willing to do because of the morals, the integrity? There's this one coming up that's like, I'm down for whatever. Do you think those girls are ruining the industry that you're in? Do you see any of that happening?
I mean, definitely. There's a lot of girls that are like that in the industry. Not saying any names, but, I mean, me personally, I just look at them as...
I'm playing.
I mean, I just look at them. I mean, I guess they're opportunists, and they do whatever it takes to succeed, but as quickly as you get that fame, it's going to come with the label. So,
right.
Is that what, I mean, if you want that, that's fine. You can be a star. You could be known, but you'll be known for the wrong reasons and how you got there. Instead of taking the long way and starting from the bottom and working your way up to the top, being professional and having a great name
right.
and a great brand. And, I mean, it just depends on how you want to do it. You want to do it the easy way where you just, you know, pop, lock, jock, shake, open, straight, whatever.
Pop it, go ahead.
I'm not mad. Like, go ahead. That's, I mean, you can do it. Or you can do it the hard way and work like actual people do, like work for it. I mean, personally, I don't want the label. I'm cool.
Right. Right. No, that's definitely,
I mean,
real dope.
But there's a lot of girls who choose that easy, fast way. And a lot, I'm not saying all of the girls in the industry are dancers, but a lot of them have that mentality because it's so fast. They use fast money, instant gratification. So it's like everything's so fast. They do whatever to get to the top. And, I mean, it's bad when you go into situations and they automatically assume that you're like the next girl that they just saw, and you have to correct
right.
them. Like, oh, that's not me. I don't do that. But, I mean, you spend sometimes doing things the right way. You spend more time defending your reputation because someone else ruined it before you. So,
right.
I don't know. It's weird.
No. That what the points that you're making, are so super valid, Ebony, because it actually happens that way. You know, girls get tried because the previous girl was on some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they say she was on one, and then, you know, the next girl come along, and she just trying to do it professionally, and then she gets asked all these crazy-ass questions, and she's like, are you serious? And
exactly.
Really, they're dead serious because of what the previous model did. But the insight that you're sharing, I hope the people are listening, you know, because like I said, there's different perspectives of the game, and you need to hear everything. Everything needs to have a balance. That's always one of the things that I try to preach to artists or anybody. There has to be a balance. You can't be who the other person is. Choose the way you want to conduct yourself. Ebony doesn't want the name, so don't call her for the BET Uncut video, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
She's not going to be in that joint. She's not going to be in that. But
no world
when
star.
I look at the
no
image,
world star.
Yeah, no world star hip hop honeys. No world star hip hop honeys, you know, no slow motion crawling on the bed with the crack out. That's not going down with Ebony Jewels, but it's going down with some. So if you like seeing that, click on that world star. There's a whole bunch of them up there. And shout out to them. I ain't knocking nobody's hustle, but different people are different. I wanted to ask you about your nationality. Are you straight African American?
Well, yeah, I am African American, but on my mother's side, black and Indian. So I guess you can mix it, black and Indian, African American, however you want to say it. It's all in my blood.
That's what's up. With beautiful skin. Most definitely, I noticed on the image, I was like, wow, this girl's got really nice skin. And we want to talk about where you want to take it. We know you've done some videos. We know you're all over the publications. Are you looking into acting? Do you want to get into any of these roles in Hollywood or Atlanta? Are you trying out for anything right now?
I mean, I do want to get into acting. I love acting, but I'm more or less a behind-the-scenes person. It's kind of crazy saying that because I'm on publications, I'm doing magazines, but I like writing, so I would want to do something as far as producing and directing. I love behind-the-scenes, so if I can just write things and just turn, you know, do films, just do whatever, I love writing, and I really want to write a play. That's my whole thing. I love plays.
Okay.
So I like theater, so... Yeah, I want to do something like that with writing. So I guess by me doing this, I could put all the connections and tie everything together. So I'd rather be off camera as far as acting and, you know, writing and cashing checks than on camera.
Right. Well, that's real dope. I mean, once you get, you know, your first play written, let us know. Come back to the cut. Let us know you got it written. Anybody that got any, you know, hands in the game, I'll be happy to let anybody know. Ebony Jewels just wrote a play. Check it out. You know what I'm saying? I think that's real awesome because it's a niche that people need to understand. There's other jobs in the industry that people make a lot of money doing. And, you know, you get one of your plays going at, you know, one of these small playhouses to start off, you never know how big it could become. So shout out to that. I'll definitely be following you to see what you do with that because I think that's fascinating right there. Now, what we always do, we bring the host and the co-host back on because they also have questions that they want to ask you. But before we do that, I like to play an infamous game that I, you know, created with all the models that come on the show, and it's called Jump Off, Jump On. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. You just got to agree to play it with me. You down?
Let's go.
You know how I say it that fast. I go get real fast, so you don't even have a chance to be like, nah, I'm not going to play that.
I'm not going to
okay.
Play that now. I'm ready.
All right, that's what it is then. All right, so I'm going to name a few names, and basically you just tell me whether you would jump on this guy or jump off this guy, basically meaning would you deal with him or would you not. So here we go. I'll start with the first one. T.I., jump on or jump off?
Jump on.
Okay.
Got swag. I like
T.I. Okay, he got swag. That swag helped him out right there. Shout out to T.I. Next, we got Future. Jump on or jump off?
Jump off.
Jumping off Future. No same damn time for Future, huh?
No, not gonna be doing the same time as write checks.
I could dig it. I could dig it. Next person we got, DJ Khaled. Jump on or jump off?
Jump off.
Okay, no, we the best there, Khaled. Sorry, brother. Puff Daddy, jump on or jump off?
Jump off. I'm sorry.
Oh, shit. P. Diddy. Sorry, brother. Jumping off. How about Busta Rhymes?
I'll jump all the way off.
Oh, damn. Not just jump off, all the way off. All right, Bust, shit. Meek Mill.
I'll just say jump on because I like his rhyme. I like his music.
Okay, okay, he a boss. There you go, Meek Mill. She jumping on. Lil Wayne.
Can I jump on and then jump off? Like, can I do both?
Wait
can I remix
minute.
It?
What the hell? What's that? Jump on then
can
jump off.
Can I jump
off.
On then jump off?
Wait.
He's a little
hold
tricky.
On, why would you jump on him in the first place, then want to jump off? We got to have an explanation to that.
Okay, because he's very intriguing. Like, I would love to pluck his mental to see what's going on. So I want to jump on for that reason and then jump off once I get my answer.
And then get the hell out of there after. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, Drake.
Jump off. He's too sensitive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Love me. Nah, sorry, Drake. No love. Chris Rock.
I would say jump on because he's funny.
Okay. Chris Rock, you went with the laughter. Now, these last two people, I put in every one of them because I just want to hear the answer. Rick Ross.
Jump off. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. She jumped on. The last model jumped on Ross. Okay, jump off. Amber Rose.
Oh, she's high. I'll jump on.
Okay. See, every model would jump on Amber Rose. I throw her in there every week and they're jumping on her. That's real dope, man. We appreciate you playing that. You're a true sport. You know what I'm saying? We just like to have a little fun here. That was the jump on, jump off segment with Ebony Jules. Now we're going to bring Onyx and Tyrone back. Any questions you have for the beautiful, lovely Ebony Jules? Who would jump on and jump off Lil Wayne?
I just wanted to say, well, I think you already answered the question that I have for you, which is the things that you won't do. I'm always interested to know the things that the models won't do, if they have any boundaries. You talked about the videos and, you know, how it's really not your favorite. But what did you want to do? Like when you were a child, like when I grew up, I want to be, what was that? I always said famous in the show. Okay, for those who don't know me, I am like a kid in my family. I'm like, they call me the prima donna, like, you know, whatever. I'm in my own world. The world doesn't work like that. I'm like, I'm always going to have a chef. I'm going to have a maid. I'm going to be famous. I'm not going to do that. But I never knew exactly what it was I was going to do to be famous. And, like, I always mess with my mom because, like, okay, first let me give you a disclaimer, you guys. My middle name is Princess. Why, I don't know, but that's my legal middle name. So I always felt like I have to live up to those standards since it's in my middle name. So I had to be a prima donna because she named me that. So when she gets, you know, my mom used to get mad at me for not doing things, I'm like, well, you named me that, so... Yeah, I just thought I was going to be famous. I never knew how or why or what, but I just said I was going to be famous. Very interesting. And here you are with us tonight getting interviews and, you know, doing all of this. And you have an amazing fan base on Twitter as well. So, well, congratulations for all of your success. We look forward to what you have coming up. And I also thought it was very interesting, the fact that you want to get into playwriting. I thought that was really dope. I haven't heard anybody say that in a while about theater, and I do enjoy Broadway, things like that that normal, you know, most people don't really sit back and look at. But I think that's dope. So, nice. Very nice. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. Oh, thank you guys for having me. I had so much fun. And thanks for all the support and all the tweets. I loved it. Even though you guys have not mentioned like going off at work today, I was like, ignore.
sometimes we get the G14 account. It might automatically just spam you. We're going to stop that because I know it went ham on me when I was in the restaurant. And everybody would be like, what the heck? Could you please silence your phone, sir? And I was like, shit. But Tyrone, you got any questions for Ebony, brother?
Yeah, first off, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All good. I had a comment, you know, one of my business partners made a powerful statement once, and he said that a lot of the models of today are really just strippers, basically. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Okay, how can I say this? I'm trying to be nice. Okay, first of all, I know dancers, and some of I'm friends with, like, maybe two or whatever. And they entered into the urban modeling or the glam modeling. And as far as them, I feel some of them give us bad names or make it too easy. Like, the standard is kind of lowered. Not saying that the dancers don't have standards, but a lot of them just do anything. Like, they're used to doing anything in a strip club to make a dollar. They take their same mentality and do anything in the industry to get a spread. You might as a cover, a feature, a principal, whatever it might be that they want. So they have that mentality. So I think it kind of gives us they stereotype us. So everybody thinks that everyone's in the magazines are automatically a dancer. Like, people ask me all the time, oh, well, how much is it for me to bring you to my club? I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, in my profile, to say anything about dancing, they think that everyone, you know, is an exotic dancer. And I have to defend my title or my image more because people think that all urban models are easy. They're dancers. They don't have standards. They're whores. They're groupies. It's just so much that comes with it because the industry is filled with dancers. So, I mean, am I for it or against it? I just say to each his own. I just don't like the feedback and the riffraff I get personally because the assumptions, like the way people assume that I'm a dancer.
Right. And I think the point he was making was that, you know, the model game is just like the rap game is now where everybody claims to be a model just like everybody says they're a rapper. And I think that, you know, a lot of dancers end up, you know, saying, okay, well, I'm going to model too. And I think I don't believe that that can always be a good thing. I think real models should stay in that lane and then dancers should stay in their lane. So they're not mingling. And I don't think that a dancer necessarily has the same type of, they don't have the same type of passion that a straight model does. So I just want to, touch on that real quick.
I agree, but at the same time, you have a certain publication who only literally, like, that's all they have are dancers in their magazine. And, I mean, you guys might know what I'm talking about, but that's, like, this one publication, that's all they have. And, I mean, yeah, it takes more than a big butt to be a model. There's some models I look at and from the neck down, like, oh, cute. When I look at her face, it's not marketable. They just think that you need, if you have a stripper body, you could be a model. So I agree. It is a difference. But sometimes there's some publications who only publish strippers, and they're all strippers and all 200 pages.
Oh, man. I got an idea, you know, but we're going to not speak on that right now.
So, yeah, I mean, it just depends. It's the market. Some people try to merge them together, and they're not the same. But that's where we're at right now in the industry. Everyone's merged together. Everyone's a model. Everyone's this. Everyone's that. So I guess you have to find your way to separate yourself from that.
Right.
No, you're definitely right. I mean, you know, that's happening a lot, and, you know, I even see porn stars now starring in these rap videos. So, you know, basically it's going to be up to these artists to say, all right, we're going to stay with the professional models, And, you know, most of them want the loose booty. You know what I'm saying? So they like, go grab this porn star. We know she down. Shit, she do it for freaking a living. You know what I'm saying? So that merging of the career, I don't think is a good look to the models who are actually trying to make it a career and keep it a business. But then you got the guys that are the artists that are like, okay, I know after this video shoot, I'm going to be able to beat this up in a hotel. She's a porn star. That's how she gets down. Bring her to the set. So I guess it's like, you know, I don't think that it'll change anytime soon, but hopefully there's some type of standard that holds firm so the girls that, you know, do grace the music videos and actually have these music videos out there where they have acting parts and there's moving parts and even, you know, where they have to actually do stuff in the video, hopefully they can continue to have a lane for themselves. So that was an interesting, ill question, Tyrone, because the emergence has taken place, most definitely.
Yeah.
Well,
agree.
We definitely want to thank Ebony. We're not going to keep her all night. We know she got things to do. Ebony, make sure you follow us all on Twitter. We're going to follow you and support everything you do. You are an amazing interview, beautiful
yes.
woman. We wish you much success. Much success.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on. Just shout out to the Fleet fam and my TSD agency. I look forward to seeing everybody at the conference in July. So have a good night, and thank you for having me on, everyone.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, she's definitely one of my faves, just because I like all the advice that she's given out as far as the models and when they're, you know, just kind of letting them know what it is. I love when people just say it like it is, you know, let people know what goes down behind the scenes, let them know what it is. So that way there's no, what you call it, glamorizing it or just making it seem like, yeah, everything's great. I like how she gave her experience on the video shoot or the video set, rather, because like you said, Golden, that pretty much is how it goes down sometimes. So very,
yeah.
Very nice. Very dope.
And that's what this segment is for, man. We want the perspectives. Every girl's not going to have the same perspective. You know, Trista T loved the video shoots that she was on.
Exactly.
You know? You said they were amazing, but, you know, you get different people, you get different insight, and that's why this segment, I think, is so important. So shout out to all the beautiful music segment models that have been on with us until now,
mm-hmm.
and we about to end this thing, right, Ani?
Yeah, we about to go ahead and ride out. I think we pretty much covered all that we wanted to cover for this evening. We will be back next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, G14 Radio via the brand global14.com, which is the main Dupree social networking site. So make sure you go check the site out and create your account, log in, and get it popping. And while you're on there, you can follow me at ONYX254 on Global 14 and Twitter at Onyx254. Pass the mic for somebody else.
Yeah. On G14, it is Brightwood Entertainment. The whole word entertainment. On Twitter, it's Brightwood ENT and BrightwoodEntertainment.com. Holla at your boy.
And you can catch me on G14 at Golden Fleece, GoldenFleece. And on Twitter at The Glue, THAGLUE, The Cut, holler at us every Wednesday night.
Yes, sir. And make sure also that you're following the Twitters at Global14 and at G14 Radio. And shout out to the executive producer, Crush, who actually called in earlier. Shout out to Jen. And shout out to Mr. Dupree, So Deaf. Are we out this
shout
thing?
Out. One love.
YOLO.
Yeah, John Main, 35 riders. Let's go.
That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go.
Yeah,
money, can we get some more? Can't be broke. That's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Just blessing now.
In the sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow.
that's a name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas high. In the world, wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking, that's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, money ain't going, get some more. Can't be broke, that's why. I ain't never had shit, came from nothing. Kept me busting, now I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts. That's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, money ain't going, get some more. Can't be broke, that's why. I ain't never had shit, came from nothing. Kept me busting, now I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts. Why?
Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Maine's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, that's so hard, push homie. Back then I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool cause now my ride on 84. I had nothing so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling and I jumped up in the rap game. Young man can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run this with it.
Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, money ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke, that's why. I ain't never had shit, came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining, running like it's nuts. That's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'ma go. Yeah, money ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke, that's why. I ain't never had shit, came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining, running like it's nuts. Why?
I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle.